Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk to Lisa Baskfield from Baskfield & Associates about tax services available for our service members, and we take a look at the upcoming deployment of the Minnesota Red Bulls with their brigade commander, Colonel Eric Kerska. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
I'd like to share with you some thoughts on a tough subject to discuss, sexual assault in the military. Sexual violence is a societal problem, and members of the Minnesota National Guard are not immune. I have no tolerance for those that commit sexual violence in the Minnesota National Guard. It is important to know that in the Minnesota National Guard, we take sexual assault reports very seriously. All efforts will be provided to support victims of sexual assault and to ensure accountability for those that commit sexual crimes against our service members. Make no mistake, I expect all command leadership to ensure they create a culture where sexual violence is not tolerated and a supportive reporting environment for victims of sexual violence is in place. Our mission is to eliminate sexual violence within our ranks and our society. We have recently partnered with the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault to show our dedication and efforts to this very serious issue and to ensure our service members and their families have access to the many crisis agencies throughout Minnesota which assist victims of domestic and sexual abuse and assault. Preventing sexual assault is everyone's duty. When one of our own is sexually assaulted, it not only hurts them, but ultimately affects our readiness to complete the important missions that we are charged with. We need to draw the line and to be able to say, that is not okay. We need to have the courage to stand up for our fellow service members and provide them with support at home and abroad. Through a thorough program of prevention, specifically awareness training and bystander intervention training, I am committed to devoting the resources to eliminate sexual violence in the Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Lisa Baskfield joins us. She is the CEO of the Baskfield & Associates, a CPA firm in Rogers, Minnesota. Ms. Baskfield, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Oh, Tom, it's a pleasure being here.
Well, it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you, too.
Lisa, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your firm?
Sure. I have a CPA firm located in Rogers, Minnesota, and we service businesses and individuals with, we do a lot of consulting with our businesses, and we do some tax preparation, which is right upon us, so got some good stuff for you there, Tom. And another thing our firm does is we support our service members when they're deployed and through the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, so...
Lisa, since I've met you, military families have been pretty important to you. Can you tell us how that started?
Yes, I can. I was out with a colleague of mine, and he was the chairman for the AICPA, the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, and he was from Rhode Island. He was talking to me about service members and how he was helping them through the ESGR program, and I said, boy, that'd be kind of nice to do something for our service members here. And so I contacted one of the officers at the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and I told them what I do for a living, and they talked with me about their workshops that they have for the service members who are going through the deployment cycle, and I asked them if they had any financial education workshops, and they said no. So as my way of thanking all the service members and their families for the sacrifices that they make for me, I wanted to be able to give back to them, so I developed workshops. So we present workshops and help them through the deployment cycle with their finances.
I understand you have several kind of workshops. Can you tell us about a couple of those?
You bet. We have a pre-deployment workshop, and we call that Financial Freedom. And what we do at that workshop, Tom, is we help our service members recalculate their pay because sometimes a service member might be money ahead or behind depending on the job that they're leaving to go for deployment. And then we discuss the importance of budgeting and helping the family member who maybe isn't normally in charge of the finances, helping that transition into that individual for their finances. We discuss the importance of getting out of debt, if that's some of the concerns that these soldiers have because of the opportunity available while they're on deployment with their income perhaps being a little bit higher. And we talk to them about getting their interest rates reduced down to 6%. We provide them some tax tips because there's some unique tax advantages when they're deployed. And then we also discuss the importance of savings. And then when they come back, we have three workshops that we present to them. One is how to survive in this economy. And that, Tom, all started when the economy started to really slip down into the recession as we now know it. And so we talk about all the changes that are going on and have gone on while they've been on deployment. For example, credit scores now take on a different meaning than they did 2 years ago, and lenders are loaning a little bit different than they have in the past, and what's changed in the banking and credit card legislation. So we bring them all up to speed on that. And then we also created a hands-on budgeting workshop. And so I thought, if it was me, you know, a lot of people really struggle with budgeting, so I created a hands-on workshop where we work through an example how to develop a budget. We look at the spending pattern of the individuals in the example, and then we provide some financial tips to maybe get people, you know, a thought process of how they can change their spending habits if they're struggling in their budgets to come to a nice even place. And then we recently started one on investing as well, and that's a workshop geared to educate individuals on just the basics of investing. Understanding the different investments such as retirement plans or PSP or 401k, individual savings and investments. In there we calculate risk tolerance so people can understand what their risk tolerance is, especially in today's market. Then we kind of walk through an example of utilizing the risk tolerance and how to select the right assets for their investments. So those are the workshops we do for our military service members.
Wow. We're speaking with Lisa Baskfield, the CEO of Baskfield & Associates, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Lisa, with all of those things that you're doing to help the military, when do you find time to pay the bills?
that would be when I normally would sleep, Tom.
Now, Lisa, I know that last year the governor and the adjutant general proclaimed your company a yellow ribbon company. Can you explain that to the listeners?
What that means is due to the service that we provide to the military service members and their family, the governor has proclaimed our company a yellow ribbon company, meaning that we are there to support our service members. We do this all free of charge, and so that's just our way and of saying thank you. And there are other companies that are doing the same as well. They're developing programs to help their service members. Maybe they're the employees within the company. And that's, we don't have service members. I have a very small firm, Tom. And so we don't have service members within our company, but we support the service members throughout our, you know, our state. And so we were recognized for that effort.
Lisa, you're doing a great job. Now, I understand you travel sometimes to help with these briefings.
We do. We'll travel all throughout the United States, or not the United States, through Minnesota, depending on, we've been out to Marshall, we just got done in Rochester, we'll work in the Twin Cities at events, and then I believe we're heading up north at the end of February for some more events. So wherever we have service members being deployed, and whenever we're asked to present these workshops, we travel and we're there for them.
That's terrific. You're doing a great job. We'll continue with our conversation with Lisa Baskfield after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Lisa Baskfield, the CEO of Baskfield & Associates. Lisa, I think you were involved when the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls came back from a deployment last year.
Yes, we were. We were also there for their deployment as well, Tom.
And they're getting ready to go again. Are you involved with some of your briefings for that as well?
Yes, we are. We'll be doing a workshop for them this weekend down in St. Paul.
In St. Paul. Tax season is just about upon us. Are there any special things that service members have to be aware of as they prepare their taxes?
There are a bunch of things this year, Tom, that service members should be aware of. And the first one is the filing deadline this year is April 18th, not April 15th. And that's due to an Emancipation Day in D.C. And so when there's a holiday in D.C., the whole country falls in that holiday. So tax season is extended out to 4/18/2011. The other big item that your service members need to know is there's a potential tax season filing delay this year due to that last-minute federal legislation that passed in December 2010. And this is going to affect anyone if they itemize, meaning that if they have a Schedule A on their 1040 return, or if they have any of the education credits or the educator expenses, or will utilize a sales tax deduction. Due to that last-minute legislation, the IRS wasn't able to implement their changes for electronic filing, and so that delay in filing those returns are slated out from mid to late February. And so that's real important that your service members know that, so that if they go to electronically file the return, if the IRS isn't ready to receive that, they'll receive a rejection code. And due to some of the delay, what we're experiencing over here, and we're even advising to everyone, is make sure you gather all your tax documents. And some of these tax documents that would normally be due out to the individual January 31st, some of them are being delayed out till February 15th. Specifically and most notably are the 1099s coming from the brokerage houses that would have dividends or capital gains associated with that. So more of a due diligence on gathering all those documentation, you know, that's going to be coming in the mail, and watching for those envelopes that say important tax documents, and not filing that return until you're absolutely sure that you have everything. Another one that I would caution your service members about is watch out for these rapid refunds that are out there. Basically, Tom, what those are just some high-interest rate short-term loans. And when we calculate out those interest rates, those are ranging sometimes from 50 to 500%. And I don't know if you know, service members understand that. One of the things as a practitioner over here is we know that, you know, IRS, when we electronically file returns, they're normally processing those checks, especially with direct deposit, within a two-week period, which is sometimes what those rapid refunds end up being, too. And I'll give kudos to the Minnesota Department of Revenue. Sometimes our clients will get their refunds within 3 days of electronically filing the return. So I'm a big proponent of keeping your money if you can. And so that's just some tips for your service members right there. The other one, with the legislative changes that were enacted and extended out, is, you know, making sure they take advantage of all the available tax credits out there. There's the American Opportunity Tax Credit, and that's an educational credit for students in college. There's the Earned Income Credit. Make sure that you take advantage of the Child Tax Credit or the Dependent Care Credit. And also this year, there's the Energy Credit was extended as well. And that Energy Credit, that's for energy-efficient home improvements. And so those are for insulation, windows, doors, roofs, heating and cooling equipment in your main home. And one of the things that I'm not sure if your service members know is, so, you know, there were some areas this year that had some storm damage. And so if you had storm damage and you received insurance proceeds and you replaced your roof, that counts for this energy efficient home improvement if you haven't taken it before. So just some tips of advice on that one. The other one is for a service member who's deployed, I know sometimes our clients have a hard time gathering all their tax documents, and then they get all nervous because maybe they're not going to file by the April 15th, this year April 18th deadline. And, you know, the availability of the extension is a really important one to be able to utilize. Now, it's different for a service member who's deployed because they actually get a filing deadline, not even including extensions. The deadline is extended out for the income tax filing is 180 days after your last day in the combat zone or hazardous duty area. So if you've got someone deployed and maybe you're the spouse of that person and you're just not feeling comfortable that you have all the tax documents, just take a deep breath and know that you've got some time here to wait and get that tax return prepared. And if anybody has any questions on that, they're more than welcome to give me a call. I just really personally hate to see individuals stressed on trying to make a deadline when, in fact, there's some opportunities provided by the government that gives them that breathing room to make sure that they gather all the necessary tax documents.
We're speaking with Lisa Bassfield, the CEO for Bassfield & Associates, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Lisa, are there any places for service members and their families to go for free assistance with their tax preparation?
Yes, there is, Tom. There is free tax assistance from the Minnesota Society of CPAs. And if they go to mncpa.org/mn-tax-help, CPA members, MNCPA members, Minnesota Society CPA members, are offering free tax help for military families who have someone deployed. There is also the Accountability Minnesota that provides free tax assistance as well for low-income individuals. And so I would, you know, if somebody needs some help, just go online and Google Accountability Minnesota, and up will pop some areas that they might be able to get some assistance for.
Lisa, if military families have questions about all of this stuff, you've given us a lot of information. Is there a resource, a place they can go?
There are quite a few resources. If they want to just email us, our email is soldier@bassfieldcpa.com. There is a website, 360financialliteracy.org. That's by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. There's a lot of good resources on there. There's a 360tax.org website, another good resource for taxes. Military OneSource has great resources for tax information as well. A lot of tax information out there.
Lots of stuff. Lisa, you're doing a fantastic job out there. I hope you're finding time to take care of your paying customers as well.
Oh, you know, Tom, there's always time to pay it forward and give back in my world. So, you know, I'm lucky I get to do this for a living, but I also am very lucky that I can give it back to some other people that give back to me.
I'm with you 100% on that, Lisa. Thanks for joining us today.
It was my pleasure, Tom.
That was Lisa Bassfield, the CEO of Bassfield & Associates. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone like just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. At first, Sergeant Crace had difficulties when he returned home from a year-long tour in Afghanistan. He put college on hold before he left and came home with almost no obligations or responsibilities. The sergeant said he was just kind of floating. He didn't know where he wanted to go or what he wanted to do. While going through things from his deployment, he came across a bundle of thank you cards made out of construction paper. They were from a class of third graders in Duluth. Those were some of the best letters, he reflects. The kids had such a way of saying things, they always made me laugh. Soon he realized he wanted to give something back, the way those kids in Duluth had done. Sergeant Crace volunteered at his local Big Brother Center and was paired with a 9-year-old boy whose father had abandoned him. Now the sergeant is paying it forward and helping out in his community, just like those third graders helped him. Thank you to all of those who are paying it forward for showcasing how Minnesota strives to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Sergeant Crace, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at the upcoming deployment of 2,400 Minnesotans. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. Right now, 2,400 Minnesotans are preparing to leave their homes and families for a year-long deployment to the Middle East. They are the soldiers of the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. This week, their commander, Colonel Eric Kurska, joins us. Colonel Kurska, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Commander, I understand you've been in this, you've been a soldier for more than 27 years.
That's correct.
And can you give us a little background on you've been on a couple of deployments, and looks like you were a tanker at one time.
Yep, still am.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the last 27 years has gone? Is it gone in a minute?
Oh, it goes really fast. It goes faster than I like to think about it. It gets faster every year, it seems like. I enlisted right out of high school into the Winona National Guard, and then went to college down there in Winona. And after that, went through ROTC and went on active duty for 6 or 7 years, and then came back to the brigade again. So about 21 years in the Minnesota Guard, and about seven on active duty.
And you served on active duty, I think, was it Germany?
Yeah, stationed in Germany, went over to the first Gulf War from there.
And a couple of deployments since then, sir?
I had the Gulf War in 91, and then I deployed with the brigade on the long deployment, the extended tour, we call it, back in 5 through 7.
And, Commander, as we said earlier, I understand the 2,400 Minnesotans, these are our fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters, are all getting ready to deploy with you, and they come from all over the state, don't they?
530 different communities. So, yes, they're from every nook and cranny, every corner of the state. And we're excited about it because this is the first time, really since World War II, that the brigade will deploy pure from our organic battalions from the state.
All together. Now, I understand this is the second largest deployment of the Minnesota National Guard since World War II.
Yeah, they've been shrinking it. We thought it was going to be the largest, but they've been shrinking it lately. So it's a little bit smaller than what we had first anticipated.
And some people got out of that one. That's probably good. Can you give us a little background as to the diversity of the group? And as you said, they come from all over the state.
Right. They come from all over the state, mostly male. You know, We've got 6%, you know, about 150 women in the brigade that'll deploy with us. But they're from all over the state. We've got 27 different armories, individual communities, companies that are represented. But like we said, we had 530 communities. We've got soldiers from 15 states outside of Minnesota that, for whatever reason, decide to travel back and stay with us, even though they don't live in Minnesota anymore. They decide to continue to serve with Minnesota.
So they're still members of the Minnesota National Guard.
They are. They just don't live here anymore. Those are mostly people that started out here and then, you know, job took them out of state and they decided to stay with us.
My briefing papers say you've got 29 units from 27 communities in Minnesota.
Correct.
Going with you. And these folks come from all over the state. Looks like Mankato, Owatonna, Brainerd, St. Cloud, Duluth, New Ulm, Bloomington, Camp Ripley. It's really a cross-section of Minnesotans, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And, Colonel, you and I first talked some months ago, and you were alerted to this possible deployment, and you've been training for it ever since, haven't you?
We have. We've been training hard.
What type of things do you do to get ready for this kind of a massive deployment?
Well, They've changed how they do business since this war began, and now they're putting most of the preparation back on the home unit where it belongs. So it's a stepping stone process, takes about 2 years. So even though it's a 1 year deployment, it'll be more than almost 3 years total time when you put in the preparation. So we start with individual soldier skills, what an individual young guy or gal has to be able to do for their mission. And then as time goes on, we start building the teams. And so now we're generally speaking at the company level of training, you know, 100 to 150 people. And we'll continue to build that as time goes on. Over and above the training, there's a huge administration hurdle that has to be crossed. All the medical records, all the pay records. We have to make sure that everything's ready for these guys and gals to be gone for a year. So there's a lot of stuff to be done.
Troops and the equipment and the records and it's got to be a huge task. Do you build these troops or these detachments around the mission that you're going to go on?
Yes and no. We try to build it around the mission as much as possible, but as most of us are aware, the world changes, and it usually changes very rapidly. So we can't anticipate. Let me rephrase that. What we try to do is build, train for the mission, but anticipate potential changes that could come along. And so we train for much more than what the mission states, because
you need to be
we want to be ready for just about anything they throw at us.
Can you share with us what the mission is?
Well, the mission in general is we're going to be securing the bases in Kuwait and escorting resupply convoys in and out of Iraq as U.S. troops leave Iraq.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Sir, the 1st Brigade has the distinction of having the longest combat tour during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Are any of those soldiers going on this deployment as well?
Lots of them. Roughly 40% of the brigade, this will be their second deployment or more. We've got soldiers, not very many, that have gone up to 6 deployments since 9/11. Not all those would be necessarily overseas, but they've all been away from home and family and careers a number of times since 9/11. The exact number that was on the last brigade deployment is unclear to me, but up to 40% of our formation have gone before.
So we've got a volunteer military, have had for years.
Right.
And I understand from the Adjutant General that you're over 100%. People keep re-enlisting and they keep redeploying. Some of these folks have been deployed multiple times, have they not?
Well, I always chuckle when I hear the hysteria sometimes in the media about you know, they didn't sign up for this or that. And I'm here to tell you that the Guard has never been stronger in my adult life. Used to be you were doing good if you're at 85% strength. And since 9/11, we've been at 125% strength. They talk about the greatest generation. Well, I think this might be the next greatest, because these young people just keep coming back for more.
They're professional and they're well trained, and they just keep serving their country. They're my heroes, being a Vietnam veteran. Sir, you deployed with the brigade during the surge. How is this mission different from that one?
Well, we anticipate, although I'm not willing to bet on it, that this one is going to be, I guess easier might be not the best word. The last deployment was difficult. There's no way to change that. I mean, it was a hard deployment. It was long. It was challenging. It was a lot of violence, and we took some heavy losses. I'm hopeful that we'll have a little easier time this time, but I'm not betting on that. So we're going to train as if we're headed into a bad place.
The only way to train, you have to be ready. We'll continue our conversation with Colonel Eric Kurska after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Colonel Eric Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. Colonel, it's my understanding that in Minnesota we have a tremendous asset called Camp Ripley, and it's one of the most up-to-date training facilities in the country, is unless I'm wrong.
No, that's a true statement. We are very blessed to have Camp Ripley at our beck and call. Don't have to schedule it with anybody. We're the most important customer, and we get their full support.
And it allows you and your troops to train close to home instead of going somewhere for a couple of months before
that's
you're
correct.
Deployed.
That's correct. We are very fortunate. Many states don't have that.
So you're making heavy use of the facility as you're getting ready for this deployment.
We are. We put lots of holes in it.
Lots of holes. What type of training do you do at Camp Ripley then in preparation?
Well, you name it. It's got world-class ranges for live fire training with weapons. The winter months make that difficult. Not that we can't train when it's 20 below zero, but the soldiers don't get as much out of it. So we try to do it based on weather. They also have a state-of-the-art simulation facility where we can simulate firing tasks, weapons tasks, simulators for convoy escort, for the command and control of convoys, you name it. Rollover simulators so that the soldiers can prepare for you know, this big truck decides to not stay on its wheels, what do you do? It's a state-of-the-art facility. We use it 12 months out of the year for many different things.
And Colonel, I believe you said a big part of this mission is going to be to escort convoys. Is that true?
Correct.
So the facilities at Camp Ripley have helped you to practice and train. And I think I saw an area there that was set up for IED training.
Correct. Yep. They've continued to grow as the war has progressed since 9/11. Camp Ripley has been on the leading edge of trying to stay up with the and creating the conditions so we can train for the latest thing.
And Colonel, part of the we were talking off the air, part of the training for your troops, both when you come back and when you deploy, has changed a bit with the Yellow Ribbon programs, the reintegration program on the way back. But now there's a program where you bring in your troops and their families and give them some training on the way out. Correct?
Correct. It's the resources that are out there for the soldiers is overwhelming. The Minnesota citizens, Minnesota businesses that have stepped forward and want to help is overwhelming. Now, through the Yellow Ribbon program, we're finally getting a vehicle where we can tap into that. There's lots of people willing to help, but in the past, we didn't do necessarily such a great job of figuring out how to get the help to the soldier or the family, and that's really where the Yellow Ribbon program comes in my mind. It's a one-stop shop for the commander, myself, or the soldier or the family member once we're gone. Hey, I need to contact this organization, and they will then get me in touch with the right resource that the situation calls for.
So as part of this training, the families of the troops that are deploying actually find out who to contact in case they need some help?
Correct. And you can't make a horse drink, so we're leading them to water, and then it's up to them. And once things are gone, once we're gone, you know, the family may find a need, and I feel comfortable between the family support groups and the communities and the Yellow Ribbon program that we'll be able to get the help to the families that we need. But I think the important component is, you know, 20 years ago there was nothing like this for a soldier or their family member in the first Gulf War and beyond. This last deployment, the Yellow Ribbon was being built by Minnesota. It's now a national program. So we had that as we got home. Now it has evolved into, we prepare the families and the soldiers before we go, and then when we get back, that same program, a little bit different twist, will now try to get us back into society as painless as possible.
Sir, as we've discussed, you've been deployed a couple other times, but this time when you're taking your men, 2,400 men and women, on this deployment, now they all know that there's communities back here. There's family readiness officers, Yellow Ribbon communities, the Family Assistance Center, all of these people out there to help with these problems. It must make all of your troops and yourself feel pretty good to know that there's someone back here that cares.
It does. The reality is when a soldier is deployed far from home, the biggest concern is their family being taken care of back home. And if we can take that weight off their shoulders so they can concentrate on what's in front of them, I think we all do better in the end.
And, sir, one last question. How do you feel about the 2,400 men and women you're taking with you on this deployment?
I've been with this brigade for 28 years, and Minnesota would be proud of their soldiers. These guys, I'm so proud to be associated with them. There's nothing these guys and gals can't do.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today. That was Colonel Eric Kerska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Red Bull Infantry Division. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. If you have a question, submit it to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining me in the studio is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Sergeant Nelson, what's in the mailbag today?
Hi, Tom. Well, we have a great question in the mailbag today. This comes from a listener in Plymouth. It says, I read about the pending deployment of Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. How can I adopt a soldier or a family to send packages to?
That's a pretty good question. Where do they start?
Well, that's a great question. Since 9/11, we at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and the Minnesota National Guard, we can't share addresses of those who are deployed overseas. You really have to know someone's deployed to get those packages to them, or go through an organization that's already established to send packages to troops. One of my favorites is run by a Minnesota woman right out of Ramsey. It's called Operation Minnesota Nice. And that's a great organization where you literally adopt a service member for a whole year. Another great avenue is contacting the local family support or family assistance center in your community. We have 14 family assistance centers scattered throughout the state of Minnesota, so it's very easy to go to one and find out what families are in need of things and what service members might be in need of some mail.
And Melanie, you've taught me over the last few years, if our listeners are out there and they want to do something to help, they should first start with beyondtheyellowribbon.org instead of just doing something and trying to dump it on your doorstep.
That is so true, Tom, because everyone wants to help, we're finding out, but it has to be a focused effort so it can be received by the military families and the soldiers well. One really easy way to, through our website, you can link to the former First Lady Mary Pawlenty's website. It's now called the Minnesota Military Care Initiative. And there anyone can go and volunteer to do whatever it is you want to do for those families that are left here at home, as these 2,400 soldiers that Colonel Kirstick told us about head out the door.
So if they want to help, start at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Sergeant Nelson. And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let us know what's on your mind. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Lisa Baskfield from Baskfield & Associates, Colonel Eric Kurska from the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, and finally, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about a Minnesota State Fair staple, Sweet Martha's Cookies, and their support of our deployed troops. And we have retired Lieutenant General Larry Shelado back on the show, this time in his new position as Minnesota's Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag, or if you want to check out podcasts of today's show, or all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.